your mask on. And there's Neil in with his mask on. He's got her off. Hey, we're supposed to be wearing masks.
In and out.
But we're not actually in the service. Until
from Friday.
From Friday. From Friday at the moment. Well, if I'm going to sneeze, I'll give you a fair warning. Duck. Duck and cover. Sing it, one of them. People almost everywhere. It's hard for all of them.
Yeah.
suitable. If I start out wrong, I'll have to stop just for this.
People go outside, maybe they're mixing outside the church, and this is the way they want to do it. So I don't think it's really any problem to do that. And if you want to wear one in the church as well, that's up to every individual. Please, I want everyone to feel free. If you want to do that, you do that. And it's not going to do you any harm, and maybe could do you good. And I know there's so much talk about there's no COVID-19, there is COVID-19, and look, there's definitely something, because there's people who's catching it, and there's people dying. So whether all the cases are true or not, I don't know, but they say there's people dying, there's people testing positive with it. So we have to go with what we can go with, but we're glad we can still meet in this manner, that we've still this privilege to come to the house of the Lord and meet, and we thank the Lord for that. And I really feel that we should take it as an opportunity to really pray for our families, that God will protect them and God will cover them with his blood. And we know that we can take all these precautions that can help, but it's ultimately the Lord that keeps us safe, praise God. Now, we want to remember the night a family, Brother Bobby is telling me, a family wiped out, it was England, brother? In England, a whole family of three was killed in England, and also a pastor.
Adrian, I'm not actually sure what's the name.
Adrian, is it cancer?
Yes.
He's dying with cancer, and we want to pray for this pastor as well, called Adrian. And also, I want you to really pray for my dad, that God will really touch him. And any other requests as well, we're going to pray tonight. And I won't try and be too long this evening, and give us time that we can pray. And we're just thankful to the Lord. Pray also for rain for Sunday morning, that the Lord will help him and give him wisdom, and that the Lord will bless the service. And, you know, the last time we had a lockdown, I know this, maybe not a full lockdown, but it was a real opportunity, because people's at home, they've nothing to do. It's an opportunity to get the word out on the live airwaves. So I might start to do something on Friday night. You pray about that for me. I might try and do something on a Friday night, some sort of an outreach by way of the internet or whatever way I could do it. There's no point going up the town, because there's going to be nobody to preach to. Open airs and things, if this locks down, there's going to be nobody to preach to, because everybody will be in lockdown. So the way to do it is use what's available. Amen. 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 And that's over the airwaves. So let's pray. We do our Sunday evening services live as well. We know that. But let's just pray about that. And if you have a request tonight, just raise your hand to the Lord. We're going to come and pray before we... And I'm going to be reading from Jude. God bless you. God bless you. From Jude, chapter 1, verse 4. God bless. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this evening, Lord, that we have a great privilege that we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, we know tonight it's not by any works we have done or any good deeds that we have merited, but Lord, it's by grace through faith that we're saved. And we're glad that you led us and brought us for your Spirit. And we called upon your name and you saved us. Father, we come asking you this evening that you will forgive us for every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed, that you will wash us afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb this evening. Cover us in this service with your precious blood. I pray for every man and every woman in this house and all that's near and dear to them, that's not even in this room, but all their loved ones, husbands, wives, sons and daughters, that you will cover every single one of them with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do ask for this family bereaved and our brothers mentioned. We pray that thou indeed will comfort each and every one of them, Lord, in this difficult time, Lord, by the great comfort of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, we pray for this man, a servant of yours, this pastor, Lord, Brother Adrian. Father, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will grant him your mercy and your grace at this time. And Lord, that you will touch him and heal him from this terrible infirmity called cancer. Lord, we know the doctors can do nothing for it, but Lord, except you would give a miracle, only you can do it. And Lord, we're asking for your mercy this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray again for Madan. Lord, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord, his hips, his inner parts of his body, Father, I pray you'll touch him and ask you for mercy for him and a miracle upon his body that you'll heal him in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Lord, I ask for every hand that was raised in this room tonight. Lord, that you will meet every single need, whether it's physical, spiritual, or financial, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that anyone that comes in here or goes out, that you'll keep them safe, that you'll watch over them and cover them with your precious blood. You've promised us, Lord, if we keep your word and your statutes, you will put none of these things upon us. And we are trusting and believing you tonight. Lord, you said, be still and know that I am God. And we're looking to you this evening, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I take the blessed Holy Spirit to help me tonight. And I thank you that you do. Lord, we can do nothing of ourselves, only with you. You can do more in a moment than we can do in a lifetime. And we confess we need you and we want you. We want your help. We desire your help. We desire your presence, your visitation in this very room. And we're asking for wisdom and guidance with your word tonight and for the same for the services that lay ahead in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless the song leader and Lord, each and every one in this room, bless them and touch them. And for those that couldn't be here, bless them and touch them and all their children. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, for those that had to work, we think of our nurses. Lord, in this fellowship and other nurses we don't know, Father, keep them safe. Cover them with your precious blood. Let your hand of mercy be upon them and your presence be near them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for this land this evening, for those in authority, that you grant the wisdom, Lord, at this time in Jesus Christ's name. And above all, that it will be a time of reflection when we will pause and think again upon the things of eternity. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let us turn then to the book of Jude. Maybe our brother Simon could. I forgot to bring water. Maybe get us a glass, brother. Thanks, brother. God bless you. Sorry. Jude, and we see in this epistle of Jude a similar indictment is levelled against those who are apostates. And last week I was reading from 2 Peter, and I'm going to be reading again tonight from 2 Peter chapter 3. But I want to take Jude, and I'm looking at the end time, the church at the end time, and the state of apostasy that's in the church and how we are warned of false teachers we saw last week in the church. And for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude 1 verse 4. So he is warning us of these men that's crept in unawares and that deny the very Lord himself. Praise God. Now I want to read it again from the Amplified Bible. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, just as if they were sneaking in by a side door, their ungodly persons, whose condemnation was predicted long ago, for they distort the grace of our God into decision and immoral freedom, viewing it as an opportunity to do whatsoever they want, and deny, disown our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. And so we see they've crept in, and there's so many things has crept in today. And you know, Roberto Riviero, how many of you ever heard of Roberto Riviero? Roberto Riviero was a converted priest who had such an outstanding testimony that the Catholic Church said he never was a priest and they never heard of him. They'd done everything to discredit him, to go against him, but he wrote many books. And if you ever have never heard of it, get a book on Roberto Riviero. But a friend of mine from New York, a pastor in New York, his friend knew Roberto Riviero personally. And he told his friend, he said that the Church of Rome and the Pope at that time was not afraid of most of the mainstream churches, but he said he was afraid of the message of William Branham because it identified the Antichrist at the end time who he was. And Roberto Riviero went on to tell his brother, he said, that is why that the end time message churches are already infiltrated with Jesuit priests already. Now that's a long time ago, and he said the message churches were infiltrated by Jesuit priests. And when a Jesuit priest infiltrates a movement, he doesn't come in with his cloak on to tell you, I'm a Jesuit, here I'm a Jesuit. He will come in preaching doctrine similar to what you believe, but as it goes on, it will take the people away from the simplicity of the gospel till another gospel, which Paul says is no gospel. So Peter warns us, it's already amongst us. We saw that last week. And there's no movement can look at another movement and say that it's not amongst them. And by the way, God never uses a movement. God uses men and women. Individual men and women, not a movement. And wherever a man or a woman will dedicate themselves to the Lord, God can use that man or woman, whoever they are. God is no respecter of persons. If we humble ourselves before the Lord, God can use anybody that will yield themselves to the Lord. So we see many movements are corrupted. And when you hear people preaching more about the messenger than they are about the Lord Jesus Christ, which the message should be about, you know that's a problem right there. Because when you study John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah, he never preached himself. He preached and pointed to Jesus Christ. And we know that every true servant and prophet of God and apostle will never tell you, preach me. He will tell you not to look at me. I'm only your brother, but preach and uplift the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our duty as ministers is to lift the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it does you good even hearing about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's ointment to God's people is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now, he doesn't spur here in denunciation of the apostate teachers, comparing them to apostates from Sodom and Gomorrah. And when you read Peter, you'll get that. And both in the rebellion against God and against Christian moral standards, they go after perverse things. Jude is saying the same as Peter too said, that they're pervert, they go after perverse things, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Praise God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, I was going to preach just on that thought last week. I really felt the Lord spoke to me about that. And I thought about it all week long. Here's what it was. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God. And I thought of it just that, the power of God. And they deny the power of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of God. How do they deny it? They don't preach the gospel. If somebody does not preach the gospel, they are denying the power of God. Because the preaching of the gospel is the power of God to us that believe. The Bible says that. And we see in the last days, and many people say, and you know the striking thing? On Sunday night, when I preached here about the blood, and I was going through all my different things on Facebook and different things, and I spotted Ken Davison preached on the blood as well last week in his service, and he preached many of the same things and said many of the same things I said here on Sunday night. I thought that was amazing because God was working. And now I never talked much with Ken, but what he said was the same things I said. And one of the things I said was that we're in an age which is so surprising that many they that claim to have such light on such truth and way of doctrine do not want to hear the gospel. They don't want the simple gospel. And when someone moves amongst them with the simple gospel, they bluff it off and they tell each other, he has nothing. He needs to come and sit under our teaching. He has very little. But what have they got? Because if they don't preach according to the law on the prophets, the word of God said there is no light even in them. And I tell you this evening, don't be deceived. But when somebody says, I belong to whatever it is they belong to, do they belong to Jesus Christ? Do they know the Lord? This business of when I come into a movement, I get saved, or when I come into a movement, I was changed. There's no mention of being born again. There's no mention of meeting the Lord. Well, I'm sorry, they're still lost. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And when the Spirit of God moves men and women, he moves them to bring you to the place of repentance unto the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And that's the power of God that changes your life. Praise God. You imagine them wee nuns that I talked about and that priest as well. Imagine trying to tell them about some other thing. Well, it would never have changed them because it wouldn't have the power to do it. But the gospel had the power to change that wee Charlotte, the wee priest, nun. The gospel had the power to change that wee woman. And Roberta Riviera, the gospel had the power to change him. Did you ever hear the story where there's a track about it? And where the man gave his Bible to this certain priest. Have any ever heard the story about that? And he left his Bible and was called the Lost Bible. Have any ever heard that testimony? It is outstanding. And that testimony that the man lost his Bible, he gave it to the priest, and the priest was deadly against him. Or was it a nun to start with? However it worked anyhow, when he went to get the Bible, it was a nun. She hadn't got it. And she said she'd give it to the priest, and when he went to the priest's house, he didn't want to give it. And to cut a long story short, about three of them was all saved through that Bible. That the man, the missing Bible. And there's a track about it. I'll try and find it. And I'll give you the information. It's one of the best testimonies I've ever heard. And I've heard a lot of testimonies. Not just one person, but a priest and a nun. It was at least two of them, or three of them, was all saved through the Bible. It was a brethren man, and he left the Bible with them and told them to read it, and they got saved. And it went to the priest, and the priest took it up the nun, or was vice versa, and he took it off her for better to heaven, and he even got saved. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Now that wouldn't happen with a movement or an organization. That could never happen. But God is in his word. John 1 verse 1. Amen. Now, from these extended references, when we read through 2 Peter, we're going to go to it later. It's Peter chapter 2 and 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll go to it later. From these extended references to the moral character of apostasy, that's what he's talking about. It is clear that God takes a far more serious view, both of the doctrinal and morality of false religion, than is common among Christians today. God takes a dim view of it, I'm telling you. Praise God. The word of God strips the apostasy of any venner, respectively, sincerity of motives, or worthy of purpose, and reveals them for what they are, tools of Satan, enemies of Christ, who have no love really for the real Lord Jesus Christ. You see, how could you not want the gospel, and how could you not want the things of God if you really love the Lord Jesus Christ? And you see, many of these preachers today, they talk about themselves and about you and me, but they never preach the Lord. And many of them are preaching a prosperity gospel. But even though the Bible says Jesus had nowhere to lay his head, the foxes that holds the birds of net, but the Son of Man's nowhere to lay his head. It's not about prosperity. You've only to look at Luke's gospel and see the rich man and Lazarus, and you'll know that that poor man had nothing as far as this world went, but he was saved. Amen. 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 Now God can make you rich. Solomon was the richest man in the whole earth. So we're not saying God can't do that. But you can't base the evidence that God's with you because he's prospered you and he's given you millions of pounds. That's no evidence. Sure, there's people, the Bible says, what did profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Go to Philippians with me, chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. And you'll see one of the things we're going to get to in a moment is where they deny the second coming of Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God and Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as us be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whithereto have we also already attained? Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. For many walkers whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Well, if somebody does not want the gospel preached, what are they? They're not for it. So they're against it. Now, they might say, we're believers, we're following this or we're following that. But if they do not want the gospel preached, they're enemies to the cross. Now, that can be a deceivable thing. You might think they've great revelation, but if they deny these things, no matter what they have. It's the simplicity, and we are warned in Scripture that we are not to get beyond the preaching of the simplicity. And you know Jesus himself, the Bible says the common people heard him gladly. Amen. Now verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is a belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And I mentioned a certain man that said Jesus had to be born again, and he owns a dome of many jets, and he said he couldn't go on an ordinary plane, ordinary people, because there's too many devils on it. That's how he answered the reporter, because they caught him out with the money. All he's interested in is money, and he owns all these mansions, and he's meant about reaching the lost. And they said to him, how come these private jets that cost millions? And you ever heard William Branham saying, there's no way I would want to have that when people's no shoes for their feet. Says, I would be ashamed to do that and people no shoes in their feet. But these fellas today, it's not a shame. They have private jets, private waiters, private this, private that. And this boy was questioned and he turned wicked. He had two eyes like a lizard anyhow. And I tell you, I know what I really think of him. He fits these scriptures, that's my opinion, because that's what the Bible says. A deceiver. And that's the same boy I tell you run about all over America. He was blowing COVID-19 from off the planet. Well, it's still here. So his breath wasn't that strong. They must have thought he was Superman. But he wasn't. And he brought people up, you know, Mick and I, they were getting healed. They weren't getting healed because the anointing wasn't on him. It wasn't even on him. He's a hypocrite. When a man preaches Jesus had to go to hell to get born again, you know he's false. I'm telling you. And thousands are going to watch that, and thousands are following that. They're deceived. And they're following that type of stuff today. And it's all about, now you need to sow into this ministry. Sow your $1,000 and you get $100,000 back. Well, what if God didn't give you it back? If you're doing it for that, it's the wrong motive to start with. Amen. That's the truth. God says, we don't need to be beggars. And God's certainly not a beggar. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. But I tell you, whose end is destruction, whose God is a belly, and whose glory is in the shame, whose mind earthly things, for our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're not preaching the second coming, if you notice. They're not looking for the Savior. Now, why would they, when they're rolling about and the money they have? Do you see, they're serving the God of this evil age, really. They're not looking. And you know the right hope of any man is the coming of the Lord. And any woman is a second coming of the Lord. But they deny it. They don't talk about it. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body, according to the working whereby is evil, even to subdue all things. Denial of the second coming of Christ, that's what they do. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So they say, and I'm going to explain this about the fathers, and I'm going to show you that statement that they say is actually a lie. It's a lie. Now, it's not that the Bible's telling you they say that, and it's showing you they're liars and they're scoffers. They don't want to hear about the second coming, because the second coming's not all roses for some people. Because the second coming, there's a rapture, but at the end of the millennium reign, there's a judgment where people have to give an account and stand before God. We know that at the end of the millennium reign. But let's take this one step at a time. First of all, in this passage, false teachers are described as scoffers walking after their own lusts. On the one hand, they are unbelievers. That is, those who will not accept the word of God concerning the coming of the Lord. They don't believe it. They don't ever preach it. They don't want to hear about it. Isn't it strange that these people don't want to hear the gospel, and they don't want to hear about the second coming, and they don't believe in a physical return of Christ either. And they don't even believe in a physical body raised. Now that doesn't leave much else of fundamental truth. They do believe. But there's people following that sort of stuff. Amen. Cunningly devised fables. Now concerning the coming of the Lord and the second coming, they are motivated by their own lusts and immorality. And in fact, many today scoff at the second coming of Christ. The widespread denial of the bodily return of Christ is prompted by a desire to avoid the teaching of the scripture concerning the revelation of righteousness. And that's what we have to go in the rapture. We need the revelation of righteousness. You know that's Romans 4, which is the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And no man can see the Lord except he has his righteousness. So he must be saved. And they don't want to preach the new birth, and they don't want to preach the second coming. And I told you the other week, there was a program on a spotlight, and they're bringing out a law now, they're working on it, that you cannot convert people. And they're calling a conversion, well, they'll be breaking the law when you try and counsel these homosexuals. No. And I'll tell you another big row that's out there at the minute as well. You know where these have turned from women supposedly to men and men to women? Is it transgender, right? What the law is now, this is a man, but he transgenders to what he thinks is a woman. And he goes and he runs the 800 meter sprint with women. Well, he's going to win every battle because it's actually a man running against the women. Now, this is a whole row. And I said to my wife long ago, and I love running, and always have from a young man. And when you see someone, you know they're not women, they're men. You don't need no test, you just know it. And vice versa, you know it. And this is the whole right now, because how can men run with women and women? Now that's only an example I'm showing you. But you see, it's a perversion in the last days, as it was in the days of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a perversion in the last days. And remember, I read some time back where they would hybrid the food. How many remembers that? And the hybriding of the food, when it's fed to people, can change people's genes. Because if you're going to eat hybrid stuff, it does something to your body. And they can prove many things that's in our bodies that affects us is because of what we're eating. And that's the truth. And there's not enough maybe taught on it and told about it, but it's the truth nevertheless. And we're living today and people don't know what they are. They're hybrid. They don't even know if they're a man or a woman, and they say that. Now, you know God just made a man and a woman. That's it, period. But it's a spirit of perversion in the last days. And if then people come to minister for help and they report him saying he tried to convert them, he can be fined and took the court over this whole thing now. They're bringing a law in for it right now. And these are the signs of the end time, that they don't want none of these things. The widespread denial of the bodily return of Christ, prompted by desire to avoid the teaching and concerning the revelation of righteousness, Romans 4, the fulfillment of prophecy relating to the second coming. And they don't want to know about it because there's a judgment follows the second coming. Now there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, we know that. But at the end of the millennial reign, there's going to be a judgment. And everyone's not going to be coming under Romans 8 verse 1 because everyone's not really saved and not born again. But aren't you glad tonight you're saved and born again, washed in the blood of Jesus? And if you're washed in the blood of Jesus, there's no condemnation to you. They can't be. And if you say there is, then you're saying the blood's no good then. And it is good. Amen. How many believe that tonight? Romans 8 verse 1, you can read it. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. These false teachers approach the doctrine of the second coming with a question born out of unbelief. This is what they ask. Where is the promise of his coming? And they say, since the fathers fell asleep. Now that's the papery article, fathers from the Old Testament want you to get this. And they say nothing has happened from the start of time to now. Nothing has took place. But I'm going to show you tonight that's a lie. And I'm going to show you that God's already done things and God continues to do things, but they deny it. But if we see the scripture, we see it, that God does it. So what they're saying is a lie, and there's no scriptural evidence to back what they're saying, but this is their excuse since the fathers fell asleep. Praise God. They attempt to support their unbelief by the statement, since the fathers fell asleep. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, fathers fell asleep. This refers to the Old Testament patriarchs. All things have continued. The basis for denying the supernatural reappearance of Jesus Christ is that nothing of that nature has occurred in the past. That's what they're saying. So they're saying we do not believe Jesus will physically return because since the fathers fell asleep, nothing of that's ever happened before. All right, but we'll give them the scripture. And always remember that the scripture is the sword of the word. You can't fight the enemy on your own ground, but the Bible says when an enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against them. That's the Word of God. Now we know that's a lie. Now look with me to Matthew 27, and we'll disprove that just in one scripture. And then I'll show you other scriptures. Matthew 27, verse 51, they said nothing's happened since these patriarchs' fathers fell asleep. All right. Here's at Calvary on the cross, and Jesus has been buried, and he's going to be raised from the dead. Verse 51 of Matthew 27. And behold, the veil of the temple, that's Christ on the cross, was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Praise God. Something happened. Verse 52. And the graves were opened. Who came out of them? And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So those that they're claiming never anything happened with them and never nothing took place rose. They already rose. Amen. You see, God's word's always an answer. Verse 53. And came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So the thing they said didn't happen in the past. It won't happen in the future. We're seeing a scripture for it already did happen. And it will happen again in the future. And God done it before and God's going to do it again. And God caused these saints to rise out of the graves when he arose. And not only that there, Abraham's bosom was a special prepared place for the patriarchal saints under the old law and the Old Testament. It wasn't heaven. It was a place prepared, but when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, they were liberated out of Abraham's bosom, and there was a resurrection. But they could not go to heaven under the blood of bulls and goats. But when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, this is why Hebrews 9 is such a revelation for me, and I know God showed me years ago, because he entered heaven with his own blood.
And when he entered heaven with his own blood, not only did it do something for me and you now, but it did something back then for the Old Testament sins. So that the way was made from Abraham's bosom to heaven. Hallelujah. And that's why the devil's against the message of the blood and the message of the gospel. So we see clearly that there really was a resurrection or a rapture. Call it whatever words here in the Bible. But they came out of the graves and they saw them. And we know 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up or thrust up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's your brother, your sister, those that see him, that's in the grave, they're going to be resurrected before me and you. And Jesus is coming in the air with a physical Jesus. Acts chapter 2, then why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Or is it chapter 1 in the book of Acts? This same Jesus you've seen go, shall so come. And like manners you've seen him go. Jesus Christ himself is coming again for his people. He loves you. The Lord loves you tonight so much he's coming for you. Didn't he say in John 14, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there he may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Another Thomas said, how can we know? And he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you know me, you know the Father. Amen. And he says, I'm coming. I went to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming again for you. Praise God. Now John 5 verse 25, and you can refer that also to John 12. We're going to read John 5 verse 25, but John 12, when you read through John 12, it says, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground, it abideth alone. But here's chapter 5 verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear it shall live. And people thought that. People refer that to us now, but this is to them then, like I already heard it. How many says that? Now it can be us as well, but it's scripture's a compound meaning. Don't forget that. How many knows that? Amen. He called his son David, his greater son, he called him out, and it also can mean for Jesus. David, Moses, the greater son, Jesus. How many says that? Scripture can have the compound meaning. But you see, except the grain of wheat fall on the ground and abide alone. But when they hear the voice, and they heard the voice, and when the rocks rent, and the graves opened, and they come out, and then they're saying, since our fathers fell asleep, nothing's took place. But that was a lie, because it did take place. There was a resurrection. Praise God. So you see, Peter points out to their assumption that all things have continued without interruption from the beginning of creation is an absolute untruth. It hasn't went on from the start without interference. God's always moved on humanity from the very start. God has a plan. God knows everything he's going to do. I heard a great man on the other night, and I just saw a clip of it. And this, I'm not going to mention his name. Great man, well thought of in America as well. A lot of them are from America, isn't there? But he said the atonement's limited. And he said it's limited because all of that was saved. God knows. Well, now, he can say that. I do not believe that. I'll tell you that right now. I do not accept a doctrine of a limited atonement. And I don't care how well he explained it. I don't believe it. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ could save this world and 10,000 more if they were there. That's what I believe. And the Bible tells me it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should be saved. But this idea of playing God, that's what they're doing. They're playing God. When you start to say, you know, and here's a number, and you know it, that's playing God. None of us know. It's like the second coming of Jesus Christ. No preacher can say when the Lord's coming. Only the Father knows. And that's the word of God. So I don't accept, I'm sorry, I don't accept the view of a limited atonement. I remember going to see a man in hospital. And he was dying, and he had strong views on a limited atonement. He had strong views that God didn't heal the day. And I tell you the truth, I went to pray for him. And he lit on me. He lit on me. And I was there to pray for him, to see him healed and touched by the power of God. And when he was finished with me, I asked God to get out. And he died. He never came out of the hospital, he died. And he believed in the limit of atonement and only so many. And you see, you have to watch, you see, because see the limit of atonement. Sit in your armchair and do nothing. If they're going to come, they'll come. My, that's not the gospel. Jesus Christ commissioned them to go out. Jesus Christ said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why did Jesus call disciples if you have to sit in the armchair? All that's against the scripture and what the Lord taught. I believe what the Lord taught. I don't care what they think. Amen. Are you following the Lord tonight? Not some man, you're following Jesus. He's the light of the world. Praise God. The entire word of God bears a testimony to the fact that God does intervene in human events. That God does guide human history, both naturally, supernaturally, and providential. Government of God is manifest in the history of the world. Let's look at a few illustrations of God manifesting in the history of the world. 2 Peter 3, verse 5 to 7. And it'll only be 5 more minutes. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that the word, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with the water, perished. God intervened. So they're saying nothing's happened since the fathers fell asleep, but this is talking about the flood. And God's showing us of the flood, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word kept in store reserve, on the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So God has signed us. See, these fellows are letting you see nothing's taking place. The fathers fell asleep. So the Lord's not coming. This is what they're saying. But I'm showing you, and God is showing you from his word through Peter. Here there was a flood. Don't forget it. And here the world's going to be burned and there's going to be a judgment. Don't forget that either. That's what God's saying. It's all the opposite of what the scoffers are saying. And they are scoffers. Amen. And he warns us about them. The greatest intervention of all was in the first coming of Christ. Listen to this. When God invaded the human sphere in the form of the incarnation, God left the glory and splendor of heaven. He was born of a virgin. He lowered himself. He condescended to come down. That disturbed the human sphere, didn't it? That came down and done something. Left eternity and came into time. And went the whole way to the cross. As a brother preached the other week, done the dirty work for me and you. Went the whole way and took our sinfulness and all the wrath of God on himself for me and you. Now there's something, they never mentioned that either, did they? But that was supernatural and it affected humanity. It's the greatest event that ever took place. You cannot preach that event or talk too much about it. That's a nonsense. And people that say they preach too much about that, when there's something wrong, you see, with that attitude. Because how can you preach too much about the Lord and the cross? You can't.
Amen.
It's the greatest event that ever took place. The literal fulfillment of the promises pertaining to the first coming is a foreshadowing of the literal fulfillment of the promises pertaining to the second coming. So just as you can read your Bible and it can take history tonight, what I mean is the patriotic scriptures, and show you from the word of God, the prophecies from Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all their prophets, which showed the coming of the Lord. A virgin shall conceive, one of them. Now, when that was given, I'm sure the man that gave it wondered, what am I talking about? But it happened. It needed. When William Branham mentions that, he said it needed no interpretation. God interpreted by doing it. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? The scripture needs no interpretation. God interprets it when he does it. Praise God. And you see, as those scriptures show the first coming of Christ, these scriptures show there's going to be a second coming of Christ. And he's coming for his people. And we're going to go to be with the Lord, and there's going to be a honeymoon period. Then there's going to be a millennial reign. Then at the end of that, there's going to be a judgment. And this earth's going to be burned with fire. There's a lot ahead, you know. There's a lot of stuff in it, and so much to study and look at in the Word of God, but I don't want to bring too much hay in the fork in one evening. But is it good? Isn't the Lord's Word good? Praise God. Many, of course, don't believe in Scripture concerning the incarnation. Now, what I mean by that is God coming in flesh. They don't believe it, but Isaiah 40, verse 3, let's take these couple of scriptures just for a moment, and then we'll come and pray. Isaiah 40, verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It doesn't say for Buddha or Muhammad, for God.
Amen.
You see, when people look at Jesus, they're looking wrong if they see him just as a man. He was a man, but he was more than a man. Amen. I like what Spurgeon said, the God-man. Praise God. God in flesh. Now, to go with that, Matthew 3, verse 3, verse 11, verse 13 of Matthew 3. And this is quoting Isaiah 40, verse 3. Matthew 3, verse 3, verse 11, verse 13. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. And 40, verse 3. Sound the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, John talking here, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. So John is identifying the man spoken of in Isaiah 40 verse 3. That this Jesus is God in flesh. Amen. More than a man. Praise God. Aren't you glad he was more than a man? If he's just a man, we're lost. But he was more than a man. Praise God. Aren't you glad for that? The Bible says, and remember I said last week, Jesus was not in the Godhead. The Godhead was in Jesus. There's a difference. The Godhead was in him, because the Bible says, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isaiah 4 tells of a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, or Jehovah, who is also our God. John the Baptist refused to identify himself by any name. When the Pharisees wanted to know who he was, he claimed only to be the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Then comes Jesus. So Jesus is clearly the Lord Jehovah our God. Isaiah 9 verse 6. Emmanuel. Now that was foretold through the Bible. And the second coming is foretold through the Bible. But these scoffers want to tell you that he's not coming. Since the fathers fell asleep. Amen. And it's many, many tick views and things. Oh, but if the Lord healed, why did he not do this and why... I can't explain everything, but that won't stop me from preaching that he's a healer or a savior, because I've seen people saved and healed, so he still does it. Amen. I want you to be encouraged tonight. I could say more, but I don't want to take any more time up. I want you to be encouraged, and let's come and pray. Aren't you glad the Lord's coming for you? Jesus is coming. And I don't know about you, but I want to see my children all saved. I want to see them coming in. I really want to see them coming in. And you know, when that jailer was converted, him and his house were saved. Ye and your house shall be saved. Now we need to pray for a household salvation and for our friends, somebody in your heart, just bring them before the Lord tonight and ask God to deal with them. Ask God to move on them. And we want all the children saved. And you know, it's really, you know, you can have a son or a daughter, they can profess salvation growing up and then they go away from it. And you know, people say, well, were they saved or not? Well, look at our Matthew. 14 years of age, I led him to the Lord in my mother's living room. Wrote it on his Bible. That Bible he had, I gave him that Bible when he was 14. On my mother's living room floor, I led him to the Lord, and Aaron as well. And another young fellow, Halliday, I actually dreamed of Aaron and the young man, Halliday. I saw it in a dream, the two of them kneeling on my mother's living room floor in a cushion, and I led them both to the Lord. And that night, very late that night, must have been 1 a.m, they came in late, and what I dreamed happened in the living room floor. Now you say, but were they saved? Well, look, the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you're saved. And look how Matthew, the Lord's brought him back. He's brought him back. So even if you have a loved one and they profess to be saved, and you might think, well, they're not looking like you're saved. Well, what is looking like you're saved? I know we have us that are following the Lord. That's one thing. But the Lord's married to the backslider. if they really were serious about it, the Lord's married to the backslider. And whether they know it or not, the Lord hasn't forgot them. He remembers the night they called on him. And I'm going to tell you this, and we're going to pray, because I don't want to take the time. There's a man who was so troubled, and he came for a private interview with William Branham. And he thought he was lost, and there was no hope for him, anything. And William Branham sat him down, and he never mentioned a thing to him. He talked about everything. And the boy was surprised. And then he took him back, and he told him, you read a tract, a wee tract. And he told him when he read it, how he read it. He said, that's right. And he said, you prayed the prayer in that tract. And he said, you were saved then. You were saved then when you prayed that prayer. And he took him back to that spot. And he said, when you read that tract and you prayed that prayer, you were saved then. Now he said, yes, come back to that spot in your mind and start off from there again. Because you were saved there. The Lord hears you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know there's people preach saved and lost. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. I do not believe saved and lost. And they say, well, if they were saved, they wouldn't do this. Not are they God? You can't play God. Like a brother Gary mentioned, there's people do things we wouldn't agree with. But when you take the Bible, the brother showed us examples. Why did they do it? I don't know. But they done it. And God used some cases. And I told you, when Billy Graham was satellited into Bonbridge, and my grandfather went to the server, or heard, isn't that right? And got saved. And there was a great church outside protesting Billy Graham. But people got saved in their meetings. And they went on with God. And them boys were outside protesting against Billy Graham. See, you can't work like that. Let's believe God for our families tonight and for loved ones. And I tell you, if you're in this room and the enemy's been having a go at you, I tell you, you're saved. If you've called on the Lord, you're saved. You are saved. You belong to the Lord. And the Lord loves you. And in spite of our mistakes and failures, we all make them, the Lord loves us. And don't forget, the blood lays there for us. It lays there for us, the blood of Jesus. And it cleanses from all sin. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening that we can truly say, God, rich in mercy. We thank you for the day and the hour when you enlightened us through the Scripture by the Holy Spirit to see our dire need of your salvation. And we called upon your lovely name. And Lord, your word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we just feel especially led tonight to pray for the backslidden. Lord, that you'll move upon our children and anyone that's on a heart in this room this evening. Father, may the Holy Spirit go out and may the Holy Spirit move upon that person and may it convict them and draw them to yourself again. And move within them to bring them back to that moment of the tight post where they call upon your name, the name that's above every name. Father, we thank you for the power of that name, for the deliverance of that name, for the strength of that name, for truly thy name is as ointment poured forth, the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that your name is higher than any other name. We thank you that there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, other than the name of Jesus Christ. For this is a stone which was set in order of the builders and was rejected, but now has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Father, I pray you'll bless everyone in this room tonight. Keep us all safe as the apple of thy eye. Cover us with thy precious blood. Bless your goings out. Bless your comings in. Oh, Father, move in our families especially, we pray. God, visit our homes, visit our children, visit our wives, visit the husband, visit the brother, visit the sister, the aunt, the uncle, the cousins, the brother. Lord, all that's near and dear in this house this evening, visit them with thy mercy, we pray. Lord, we know that your arm's not shortened and your ear's not heavy.
but you can save and you can deliver. Truly, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, as Samson held the post, in a moment of despair, and he cried out, once more, Lord. Once more, Lord. He cried out to you. And you did it, oh God. And the word says, more were slain in his death than in all his life. And I pray again for my dad. And for those that need your miracle touch, once more, Lord, stretch thy arm forth and make it burn in the name of Jesus Christ. And we'll be carefully give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Let's just continue to pray and seek the Lord.